I want to thank Pastor Kewen for hosting this in Bible Baptist Church. It's a lot of work. I want to thank the church folks, the ladies watching the nursery, preparing the food. The food was great. I don't know who made the picante salsa. Who made the picante salsa? ¿Quién? ¿Cómo se llama, hermana? ¿Tolma? Norma. Me gustó muchísimo. ¿Por qué estaba hablando en español? ¿Qué vas a hacer, inglés o español? Oh, I can flip back and forth, right? Yeah, no, okay. Hermana Norma, excelente. Por 8 servicios niemías, chismol. Pero esta vez algo con jalapeño, algo, no sé qué, pero algo que pica. Me gusta el chismol, pero algo que pica, bueno. Entonces, siga, hermana, con su ministerio. Es bueno. I'm going to preach in English, brother. Okay. Pero gracias, iglesia, pastor. Siempre bendición. Los predicadores que vinieron antes. I'll switch over now. The preachers who preached before, good job, man. That was a blessing. And this is wonderful. Good job. I love my nephew Paco. Every time we go somewhere, I spend more time watching over him than I do anything else. I wanted to say that Missions Peru, I wrote a note in my personal notes that said, if you wanted your finances to improve, support more missions. I don't know how it works, but it works. And our church can give testimony over testimony over testimony how God has greatly increased personal finances because of giving to missions, Faith Promise Missions. And I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to go to the mission field. Some of you are from the mission field. Amen. Brother John Riccio. Here, I got it right here. Brother John Riccio, he preached very good balance of the fear of God and the love of God. Amen. I thought that was really good. Amen. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but he said, the love of Christ constraineth me. He got it. And I was thinking, you know, because I'm a deep thinker, not that deep, but I was saying, that's why the Bible says a bishop must be the husband of one wife, because when you get married, you really understand the balance of fear and love, you know. If you're married, you know what I mean. You really do. And, you know, men like to say, oh, no, I'm the head of the house. Right, honey? Please say yes. And then they say, of course you are. And wait till you get home. I remember that guy, what was his name? Oh, Black and White, the big guy and his wife. Honeymooners. What was his name? Jackie Gleason, his wife. Alice, one of these days, Alice, one of these days, pow, right to the moon. And he got mad. He said, now listen, Alice, I'm the king and you're nothing. I'm the king and you're nothing. You got that, Alice? And she goes, that's right, Ralph, you're the king over nothing. We're the king over nothing. My wife's away. Hallelujah. No, I was teaching Brother Preston. His wife says, oh, I'm going away for a few days. And he's like, oh, I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss her. He looks back at me and he goes, yes. Of course, none of you know what that means. Our church is full of sinners. I don't know what your church got, but we got sinners in our church. It's been a good day. I'm preaching out of John 17:17. The Lord has his high priestly prayer there. And he says, when he's praying, I want to go back a little bit. My son Isaiah, when he was young, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, he surrendered to be a missionary to China. I don't know if you remember. And he slept on the floor and said, "Son, why are you sleeping on the floor?" He goes, "I'm getting ready for China." I said, "Yeah, but you got like 15 years. Anyway, he liked that. But he ended up going out to Wyoming. He's out there. He's working a mission church there. And Lord's really blessing him and his wife and his little head. I was going to say his little kid. Sorry. He's got a huge head and his kid's got a huge head. When he was born, like his nickname's Jughead. But when he was born, I used to wear a hat that fit me fine. When he was born, I put it on him. The hat fit him perfectly. He had a big head. We taught him how to ride a motorcycle, and he got the biggest 5X. I didn't think they made 5Xs. They made 5X helmet. He wore it like a yarmulke. But my son Isaiah, he was out in Wyoming. And I went out there and visited him and his family, and it's just wide open. Wide open. Hours between towns, you know, 200, 300, and 2 hours, another town. And I met the pastor of Lander Independent Baptist Church, Brother King, good brother, and we were talking fellowship in some way, and then I was leaving to go back to Rhode Island, and he said, you get to leave the promised land and go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, "Yeah, brother, some of us have to be in the world. You know, it was a beautiful place. But God didn't call us to be Amish. Amen. We got to be in the mix. We got to be amongst the sinners." One of my favorite verses is, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Woo, that blew the mind of them Pharisees. That rabbi ate with sinners. That's my Jesus, amen. And Jesus here is praying to his Father. But he says this. He says in verse 15 or 14, "I have given them thy word." He gave them the word of the Father. "And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, Jesus gave us the word of the Father. And because we received that word, we are not of the world. We are no longer of the world. Amen. Brother, when you got saved, this world's not your home. Your desires are not for this world. You don't love the world, or neither the things that are in the world. You set your affections upon things above. Amen. You're a pilgrim passing through. I like that. You know, a Christian before your nationality. Amen. That's right. You know why? Because kingdom of God is greater than the kingdom of fill in the blank. Amen. I'm a child of God. I'm not of this world. But then the Lord says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil." So our duty, listen, if you're saved, if you name the name of Christ, your duty is to be kept from the evil. Stay away from it. That's what Jesus prayed. But then he says furthermore, he says this, he says in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That word sanctify, obviously in the context, keeping you from evil, the evil, amen. Separated from the evil, not part of the evil, amen. You mentioned, be not deceived. See, I'm deceived. Or else Paul wouldn't say, be not deceived. You're not, don't say, oh, I'm beyond being deceived. No, he wouldn't have said, be not deceived. Evil communications. You say communications? Think of, ponder that word. Here's a King James Bible from 1611 using the word communications. And what do we got going throughout all the world? Communications. And evil communications will corrupt your good manners. Amen. Don't be deceived. Listen, out of 6,000 years of human nature, you're not the exception. You'll fall just like anybody else. You'll be tempted just like anybody else. And so you have to be sanctified through God's truth. And you say, well, what's that? He says it right there. Thy word is truth. I really love this pulpit, man. You could put every, look at this. Put my wallets over here, my water over there, my 12-year-old napkin here, my notes here, and still got room. I got to get me one of these. Seriously, I mean, I'll pay you. Actually, my brother there from Ohio, he'll write you the check. Just charge him whatever you want. Somebody say amen. Okay. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hates it. The world hates you if you love the word of God. They don't like the word of God. They hate the word of God. Sanctify, not be a part of the world, separated from the world, kept from the world. Thinking about, well, I got some verses here. Let me just read them here. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's why you memorize it. I memorize the word of God. Do you? I do. You know what really helps you memorize the word of God is when you're going through something and God gives you a verse and that verse helps you. Maybe it's a trying time. Maybe it's a scary time. Maybe it's a struggling time. And God gives you a verse and you say, woo, that verse did it. It's locked in here. Amen? Locked in. Thy word have I hid in my heart. You got a problem with sin? You could run to the world, but they're going to do a patch-up job. You know, I know people who say they're saved, and they got therapists, worldly therapists, not Christian therapists, and they got anti-depression medicine, and they got, you know, bipolar stuff, and they got this, that, and the other, and every little tweak or every little discomfort, they run to the world to get the world's philosophy and the world's answer. When Jesus Christ gave you the victory over all things, and the victorious Christian life is not a fable, amen, and you can give up booze and cigarettes and drugs without all the junk the world says. I thought about it. I knew a brother, he has this ministry called, not Drunkards Anonymous, what is it called? Reformers. Now, amen. I'm not saying stop doing it. But man, when I got saved, my Reformers Anonymous was 11 o'clock from a Baptist preaching pulpit. Amen. That's what converted my soul. I didn't need to go, you know, oh, pity me and pa, pa, pa. Wah, wah, wah. Say, sin! Get it out of your life. You say, I'm just too hard. I'm too weak. You know, you need a Baptist boot. Man, the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, all power is given unto me, go ye therefore. And people whine that they can't do it. They can't overcome the world. Something's wrong, boy. Girl. And not, it's not with God, it's not with the book. I memorized Psalm 119, 133. I love it. I love it. I would recommend it to all of you. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Woo, that's good. I don't want any iniquity to have dominion over me. You know, you heard the story, Brother Riccio. You know, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, right? You can stop it from making a nest. Amen. It doesn't mean you can't go by a billboard and see, you know, some booze advertisement, or going through Massachusetts, you know, marijuana is legal. We were going up to the airport, get Paco. Marijuana is legal. Say, I don't need marijuana. Can you imagine if you had a church full of dope heads? I mean, there's got to be some liberal churches that say, well, it's legal. We should let them do it. No, you know, in our church charters, you know, if you got one, it should say, abstain from alcohol and tobacco. Now we got to put marijuana and narcotics and all that. Marijuana. I got too much stress, you know. I have panic attacks. I don't feel like going to work today. I don't feel like going to work any day. I'm not going to stay home and smoke marijuana. I'm weak. I'm sorry. Can I preach next Sunday? God's word is truth. See, I got a King James Bible. I got this when I got saved. Praise the Lord. I got this book when I got saved. They said it's the word of God. For 30-some years, I haven't had to question it. For 30-some years, the verses I memorized, I didn't have to rememorize some new version. For 35 years, the verses I memorized are still right, still good, still correct. Amen. Amen? And don't take this Bible from me. Don't take it from me. No, sir. I'm sanctified by this book. You know, you're sanctified by this book. You say, I don't feel sanctified. Better read it then. Try it. You'll like it. Amen? Sanctified by a King James Bible. Hallelujah. It is the Word of God. It is the inerrant, inspired Word of God. You say, I don't agree? That's your problem. It's the Word of God. It changed my soul. See, I didn't get saved somebody leading me to Christ. I got saved reading Romans 10 out of a King James Bible. That did it for me. Woo, that word is truth. You say, why did you read Romans? Because I didn't want to read Job. I was smoking marijuana at the time, you know. You say, preacher, you smoke marijuana? Man, that ain't the tenth of it. But Jesus Christ saved my soul. I tell my children, I was drinking before I got out of diapers. People say, that's true, that's true. Head of my baby bottle, say, put a head on it. People laugh. I had a taste for alcohol as far back as I can remember. If my dad were still alive, he'd still have his bar at the house. And I drank morning on the way to work, drank during lunch, drank driving home, drank after work going to the taverns. Taverns are better than bars. One notch up. They got pool tables. They do, I'm telling you. Cheap beer. Back then it was $1.50 a pitcher. I'd say line up four of them. And then I got saved. God took that desire from me. Not because I needed help, because the Holy Ghost inside of me said, no mas. And after I got saved, I tried it one time, and I felt like a house landed on my chest. I felt so stinking sinful and bad. I said, it's not worth it. I didn't have to read a verse. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is rage. The Holy Ghost himself showed me. No mas. Sanctified. That was one of the first steps. I had the most filthy mouth you could ever. I'd drink this, you wouldn't want to drink after me. God cleaned that up. I went to work about a month after I got saved. I would have gone sooner, but my freedom was limited. And I went to work, and one of the guys said, hey, tell me one of them filthy jokes you tell. I said, I don't tell those no more. He said, why not? I said, because I got Jesus. Amen. I got them lined up day after day, ready to spout some new perverseness. Wicked life, sanctified by Jesus Christ. What Brother Paco preached about. El Cordero de Dios, su sangre me santificó. Hallelujah. And then I start to think about Paul. You know, Paul, in my opinion, was an amazing Christian. Zealous, nonstop. You'd say, he'd preach at a church and they'd say, well, who are you? Why should you be preaching us? And he'd just take off his coat and show them their back, his back. 40 stripes for the testimony. That's a real testimony. Let me see your scars, brother. There was a missionary in Peru. You know, I love young men. 20s, young men married with little babies going to the mission field. Say, man, this one brother, Carlos Estuque, he was coming home. A mob said, that's him, get him. And they jumped him. They were trying to kill him. He got stabbed, I don't know how many times, survived by the grace of God. Got one in the neck. You know what? He goes right back out there. Say, man, he's got some evidence of his testimony. You say, preacher, you got knife wounds? Yeah, but not from Jesus. Romans 7, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Go to Romans 7. Trying to be sanctified here. We want to be sanctified. That's Jesus' prayer for you and for me. Verse 12, Paul says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. What then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Who's that preaching? Some harlot? Some drunk? Some tax collector? Some Republican? I'm teasing. That was the Apostle Paul writing that. You go down, he says in verse 19, well, he said in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. He said in verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. They said, verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am. I was going to church the other Sunday and it just struck me. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm glad Paul said that. Because now I don't feel half as bad about it. Because he felt the same way. I feel pretty wicked, amen? In fact, I don't like dwelling on the subject at all. I don't like preaching on the subject. I'd like to say, oh, you know, we're all wonderful. You know, that guy, Olstee, smile. But no, oh, wretched man that you are. Oh, wretched lady that you are. And we try so hard. You know, talking about the outward man, you know, John the Baptist wearing camel's hair, leather girdle. I went to Israel once. I saw a camel. That's one of the nastiest animals on the face of this earth. Can you imagine him combing the hair out of that thing and making a suit out of it and wearing it? I mean, it probably stunk and had fleas. It probably did. And if clothes make the man, you know, what was John the Baptist, right? So imagine that man wearing camel's hair. I said, I don't have a camel's hair suit, so I wore this soft raiment. And when I go home, I'm going to dwell in king's palaces. John the Baptist, a great man. We heard that. Amen. Paul, a great man. Oh, wretched man. You know, Job said, Job 42:6. Wherefore, after, you know, God talked to him, you know, he felt kind of like, you know, we'd be bigger whiners than him, I'm sure. But he was kind of saying, you know, like, you know, I tried to serve God. Why is this happening to me, you know? And God, you know, once God straightened him out, he said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes, or in dust and ashes, excuse me. David said, Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Peter said in Luke 5, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Remember, cast out your nets. Oh, Lord, we toiled all night. Nevertheless, at thy word, no, it wasn't at thy word, I will cast out the net. It almost broke. It's half obedience. Ezekiel chapter 1, he fell on his face. Daniel 9:20, that's a great chapter, by the way. Confessing my sin and the sin of my people. Saying, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. Jeremiah in Lamentation said, the Lord is righteous. Can't read my own writing. Isaiah 6:5 said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. See, be sanctified. You got to get a really good look at yourself. See that you're wretched, poor, blind, as the Savior told the Laodicean angel. But God's word is truth. Hebrews 4:10. Let's do a little tiptoe through the scriptures. This is pretty good. Follow along if you got the energy. I think Brother Kewen wore y'all out. Always good, Brother Carl. Always good. Got to get our fingertips moist, ready to go. Hebrews 4:10. Let us, for he that has entered in his rest, oh, that ain't right. Well, what do you know? Anyway, I got another one here right behind it. Is that it? Nope. That'll still work. Yeah, pick one. Read it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is made unto us sanctification. That verse in Hebrews says sanctified through Jesus Christ. Leviticus 20, just to define, says sanctify yourselves and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. That means holy. Romans 15:16 says the Gentiles were sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I love 1 Corinthians 6, since you're there. You know, if you allow me to vent, don't ever think, brethren, do me a favor, don't ever think somebody's too far gone to be saved. Oh, they're sodomites, they can still be saved. Well, they're atheists and God haters. They can still be saved. There's no one beyond. You know, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, superabounds. And there's people out there that are trying to limit God's goodness, amen. I think they need to get saved and see how wretched they are. James said, you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So we're all in the same boat, amen. Amen. For God so loved the world, amen. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, picking up verse 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Okay, there it is again. When he says this, be not deceived. Now listen. neither fornicators. Any fornicators in the church? You say, what's fornication? Having sex outside of marriage. No kids here, right? Probably some of you did it before you got saved. Maybe some of you did it after you got saved. Shame on you, sinner. And I'm not making light of it. Amen. Some of you doing it now. That's even worse. You know why? Because if you practice it, you're deceived. You're supposed to be sanctified. There's no excuse for it. There's no Christian cohabitation. I got a text from a Christian sister. I know she's saved, and I love her. Good lady. She sent me a text. Pray for my daughter and her boyfriend. They got kicked out of their apartment. They need a place to stay. Do you know of any place they could stay? I wrote back, yeah, they can live in my house and fornicate all day long. No, I didn't say that. I said, sister, I'll pray God's will. I said, have you thought about having her come home and him go to his house? Praying, putting prayer, Christian, loose word, praying for her daughter and her boyfriend to find an apartment because they're going to be homeless pretty soon because they both lost their jobs. Maybe it's the hammer of God coming down. And then they want me to get between them and the hammer? No, thank you. You know, something I learned after being a pastor so long, sometimes you got to let God judge people. Now, I'm not unkind. I'm out to help everybody and want to help everybody. But sometimes I say, I don't know if I want to touch that one. If God's working, back off. You start meddling, you're going to get your fingers in the press. You're going to get, you know, what they call it, collateral damage. Getting too close. You know, them dudes that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, the strongest, mightiest men in the kingdom, they got burned up too close to the fire. Collateral damage. Praise God. Be not deceived. You know, we need more preaching on fornication. I try to preach it regularly at our church. It's not once to be named among God's people. Too common. No idolaters. You say, oh good, I don't bow down and worship Mary. Yeah, well, covetousness is idolatry. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's men who wear women's clothes. You say, what's that all about? Man, haven't you read the news? It used to be, like Jesus said, you know, Jesus, I love Jesus. Of course, we all love Jesus. Amen. In the beginning, God made them male and female. Now you got 47 different kinds. And the one that got was a male that wanted to be female, now marries a male, now they go shopping together for women's clothes. That's weird. You know, a real man can't spend 5 minutes with his wife shopping for clothes. And if you go to your wife and say, let's go shopping for clothes, you better repent, brother. I'm telling you. That ain't Bible, man. Can I get an amen on that? I said, that one looks good. Get that one. Let's go. You know, you didn't even look at it. No, it looks good. Amen. Then I tell my wife, hey, you want to walk into me, the Tractor Supply? She just says, they got clothes in there. See the clothes they sell there? Plaid and cowboy boots. Hallelujah. Go over there and look. I'm going to go look at the tools. Hey, I know it. I'm trying to help you guys. I don't even know how much time I got. Look, I'm running out of time. I usually have about a 45-minute introduction and about 5 minutes for my points. Don't worry. If you're really good, I'll go for another 45 minutes. No idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. They got the parades there, the sodomites. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor executioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I wish I could add to the word of God, I add in liars there, but then we'd all go to hell, amen. Be not deceived, brethren. You need to be sanctified. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm getting close to my points. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Anybody having trouble finding that? Start in Genesis, go a few, you'll find it. 2 Thessalonians 2. You say, why are you preaching like this, preacher? I'm just tired, and so are you, amen, because you're encouraging me. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So you have sanctification by God, by Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. That was a long time to come up with that one. Yeah, I'm just trying to show you. So go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. This is my text. And I'll preach the points. And probably Tim's going to preach another 45 minutes, right? Yes or no? No? Okay. Okay. You want me to take your time? Or no, I'm kidding. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, you got to look at this carefully. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. So God is doing the sanctifying. But then he says, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what that's telling me, brethren, is that God does the sanctifying. But he's praying that God will do it, amen, which means you got to let God do it, amen? And he mentions the spirit and the soul and the body sanctify you wholly. Now, as I did my Bible reading, my Bible study, I noticed that Jesus sanctifies us, amen, we read that. But look at 1 Corinthians 2. Talking about the Spirit. And somebody mentioned this. It's great when you have a conference like this because you're preaching and other men touch on the same points and you could tell that the Holy Spirit is confirming it. But it talks about verse 9, I hath not seen, right? But it says in verse 10, you know, the Pentecostals, I hath not seen, neither ears or anybody. They don't read verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And the main point of this is that if you want to sanctify your spirit, you need to be reading your Bible. You say, I need to sanctify my spirit. You know, there's people, and somebody preached that go a week without reading your Bible. That makes you weak. That makes one weak if you go 1 week, you know. You want your spirit to be sanctified, you got to be in the Word of God. This Word of God, man does not live by bread alone. Jesus is the Word, hallelujah. In chapter 3, verse 1, notice, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. They weren't spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. You know why? They couldn't handle the Word. They were babes in Christ. They were carnal. They weren't sanctified in the Spirit because they weren't in their Bible. God's given you a Bible. Read it. Just like I preach on it. It's like soap. Use it. Amen. This is soap. Use it. This is a Bible. Read it. Second, the soul. And I said, well, what sanctifies the soul? I went to Matthew 26. I want to sanctify my soul. Matthew 26, the Lord had a similar time. Picking up in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. You want to sanctify your soul, you need to be praying. You know, when I got saved, the Baptist preacher said, okay, three things. Faithful church attendance, pray, read your Bible. You ever hear that? You ever hear that? It wasn't just made up. Amen. If it was made up, they would have said tithe, read your Bible. I'm for tithing, but they would have listed that first. It was made up. Prayer sanctifies the soul. When Jesus' soul was exceeding sorrowful, he had to pray. In 3 John chapter 2, he says, I would that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus is our sanctification. Amen. Can you imagine what good prayer time will do for your soul? I mean, imagine just crazily. Imagine if you prayed for like 1 hour. Imagine if you got a closet and you went into a closet and you put out all the, you leave your phone out. You leave, no phone calls, no interruptions, no light even. And you sit in that closet and you say, I'm going to pray an hour. You're going to be there and you're going to say, man, I've been here 4 hours. You come out, it's been 4 minutes. It's amazing. Jesus said, pray in the closet. Amen. Prayer does amazing things for the soul. Is your soul grieved? Is your soul wanting and needing sanctification? You need to pray. Your spirit needs sanctification? You just don't have it anymore? You need to get in the Word of God. You know, preachers get burned out. I heard that they want to quit every Monday. I haven't had that yet, but it might be coming. Then thirdly, sanctifying the body. The flesh. That's a hard one. Paul struggled with that. But I went to Ephesians 5. You know where I'm going. Think about it. Ephesians 5. Talking about the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Good old-fashioned Baptist Bible preaching is going to help your body be sanctified. You know why? Because you can read the Bible all day and still be a fornicator. But when a Baptist preacher gets in your face and calls you out, now you got to do something. You're not going to be, you can't hide behind these pews. Too long. Preacher knows. I mean, he may not know exactly he's doing it, but probably 90% he does. You think the preacher's dumb, but God gives him discernment. God will send a little bird to him and tell him. Amen. And he knows. He knows who the sinners are. He knows who's been lying. Some of you lie. You know, I was talking to my daughter. And she said, oh, you know, like we got people fornicating that come to our church, and we got liars. I said, God hates liars more than fornicators in the church. He killed Ananias and Sapphira. People lie to the preacher for nothing. And if you're a child of a lie and not the children of truth, walking in truth, you better check your salvation. Amen. Don't lie. You better just keep your mouth shut than make something up. People lie, you know, they get in the habit of lying. They lie over the dumbest things and the simplest things, and it's obvious. We ought not lie. These six things that the Lord hate, proud looking, a lying tongue, then hands that shed innocent blood. People lie. People do all kinds of things, and the preacher preaches against it, or God will lead the preacher to preach against it. You better say amen, because he's keeping the church keeping the foxes out of the hen house, keeping the grievous wolves. Remember Acts 20, Paul, grievous wolves? Keeping the grievous wolves out of the sheep pen, separating the tares from the wheat, amen. You say, yeah, but if I preach that, I'll lose half my people. Okay, well, do what you want. Jesus purifies and sanctifies and cleanses it with the washing of water. There's nothing like just good preaching to get sin out of people's life. That was preached on earlier about the judgment of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. I'm not hurting anybody's feelings, am I? Okay. Say, preacher, do you care? Well, I care a little bit, but still going to do it. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Ooh, good memory verse. Wednesday night coming up. I love that. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I wonder how many people knew that verse was already in the Bible. Some of you might be reading it for the first time. That's rough. How many people read that verse before? I hope you all raise your hand. Okay, got one. Thank you, brother. Two, three. Okay, I got a few. All right. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 John 5:18. Notice this. This one I think I figured out. If I got it wrong, you can help me out later. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And I put in my margin here, sinneth not, that's not like a practicing, not like continually doing over and over. Doesn't mean you might not have the thought, or in a rare circumstance you might have gotten trapped and tripped up. But listen, brother, listen, sister, to go get a drink, you don't slip into getting a drink. You got to get in the car, put the key in the ignition, put it in drive, drive to the bar, drive to the place, walk in, reach in your pocket, pull out your wallet, take out your card, set it on the table, grab the bottle, put it in the bag, walk out, go someplace. That's not, oh, I slipped up. That's full intent. And, I want to quit cigarettes, but I can't, I keep slipping up. No, you got to get in your car. You got to go buy a lighter. Anybody here have a lighter? Yeah, I want to see. I'm going to say, what do you use that for? Oh, I know, you got depression, you need marijuana. Get in the car, put $10 on the counter. Man, they're expensive. Say, give me a pack of them nail coffins. Go out. You got to find a place now. You just can't smoke anywhere. They're not going to let you smoke. You know, that really aggravates me. Ashtray outside the church's front door. If you go to a church like that, just kick it over. Say, why'd you do that? Say, Brother Descent told me to do it. He said, God told him to tell you to do it. And you can blame it on me. Just let him get out there. But, you know, people take 50 feet away from their business door to smoke, but they'll smoke right outside a church door. You ever notice that? No. We run them off. You say they might get saved. Let them get saved at the next church with the ashtrays out front. Seriously. I don't need people disrespecting God's house. Like, I'm sorry. I don't. Once this in your eye, I said, you stink. You smell like cigarettes. You can't come into the church house. You smell. You make me want to throw. I told her. You say, you're so unkind, preacher. No, I'm oveja de miel. I'm a cordero de dulce. But she stunk, brother. I said, you can't come in here. You're going to ruin the whole revival because everybody's going to be looking at you holding their nose. Sorry you can't come in. I hate to be unkind, but you stink, sister. And you got to give up them cigarettes. I'm trying to help her. I love her. But she don't learn. Go to Quinesset Baptist Church. They don't preach the word there. I'm so glad for all the liberal modernists You know, somebody preached about rejoicing that Christ has preached. All these liberal churches, aren't you glad because you can send people over there? They don't have to come to your church. Seriously, I mean, that's a blessing. There's this one guy, he's like, talks to himself, shows up after 20 years. I read him off 20 years ago, Brother Bob. Shows up 20 years later. I think I'm going to come here. I'm looking for a wife. He says, you don't have a problem with that? I said, yes, I do. He goes, why? I said, because you're not wanted here. He left in a huff, slammed the door. Tell me if I lost sleep over it. Ask me if I lost sleep over it. Not much. I said, we don't take other people's. You go to Quinesset, stay there. Thank God for Quinesset. I'm sorry. I'm glad they're there. I go buy them and their $1 million bank account and all the crazies that go inside the door. Praise God. Ah, they're like magnets for the needy ones, the sinners. We have our own brand of sinners. Sorry, you're not our brand. Right? We got our own brand of sinners. People who want to hear the word of God. See, somebody got to come to our church. I want them to come because they want to hear the word of God. Not because we got free sandwiches or because we got pony rides for the kids or because, you know, we got lights and sounds and a water slide going into baptistry. Amen? Preaching is our promotion. You don't like it? Well, there's plenty of other places. They'll love to have you. Go there. You have a good time. Don't have to worry about the Word of God. Preaching the Bible. Not practicing sin. It says he keeps himself. Verse 18. And then it says, the wicked one toucheth him not. I'm glad it says that. Some of you may be reading this verse for the first time. Feels like I have. That the wicked one toucheth him not. That's what I want. That sounds like a little bit of promise to me, doesn't it? You want the wicked one touching you, touching your family, touching your wife, touching your kids, touching your church. And you gotta sin not, keep yourself. And if you don't, and you give place to the devil, you gave place to the devil. And the preacher will try and help you, but he's going to tell you the same thing. Read your Bible, pray, do what the Bible says, get in church, faithful. When the doors are open, you ought to be in church, nowhere else, because you're showing priority. I mean, I personally don't believe Sunday is a holy day, but if you work on Sunday because you choose to instead of being at church, you're purposely choosing one thing over. Now, if, you know, you're a nurse and they call you in or you're, you know, I can understand that. But if you actually choose, something's wrong. God will bless you if you say, no, I'd rather listen to the King James Bible being preached than come in here and work for you, sir. I love this cartoon. Well, it was a picture I got from my father-in-law. He says there's a reason why old people don't get hired. Hermano Ricardo, you could try to go back in the work field, you may not get hired. Some of you older brothers, if you get fired, you may not get hired, you know. And they say, why can't older men get hired? Because of this. And they showed this scenario, and they had this young person interviewing this old guy, and they said, we're interviewing for this job. Can you tell us one of your greatest weaknesses? And the old guy says, I'm too honest. And the young guy goes, well, you know, we don't think being too honest is actually a fault. He goes, I don't care what you think. That's why they don't get hired. I mean, you're still wet behind the ears asking me what my greatest weakness is. I mean, come on. I don't need the job that bad. I mean, if I ever get let go, I mean, I'm destitute. I'm a trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, that's a rough one, isn't it? I'm trying to wrap this up. I'm done, actually, but I got a few more verses. Romans 13, 14. Trying to help you sanctify your spirit, your soul, and your body. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Here we are again. Romans 13. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. That means get it out of your house and out of your life. You say what? whatever you got a problem with. Make no provision. Don't have it within arm's reach. Hebrews 12:10 says that we're chased, you know, Hebrews 12, despise not the chastisement of the Lord, chastening of the Lord, right? It says, because it will make us partakers of his holiness. When God chastises you, he makes you a partaker of his holiness. Brethren, we have a God who is holy. We have a God who wants to sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. And he will. But it's much better if we go along with the plan. He won't have to chastise us to make us a partaker of his holiness. You know, I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. If I told you how blessed I was, you'd think I was bragging. So I can't tell you. But I'm really blessed. I mean, when I look at my life, I mean, I got to pray for other people because I got nothing. I got to pray for myself. Seriously. All my kids are healthy. I'm healthy. My wife's healthy. Finances are good. My kids' finances are good. Church is good. People in the church, their finances are good. And they're pretty much healthy. Brother T struggles. Pray for him. But, you know, I got to pray for other people. But if I'm not faithful to pray for them, God might bring something into my life, so I got to pray for it. And then I don't want that. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather pray for others than have to pray for myself. So if I got one to choose from, I'll pray for you. And, you know, I hope it continues. And it may not. Job, I'm not saying I'm Job, amen, but, you know, even Job had troubles, right? And I'm not saying I'm trouble-free, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I need a couple husbands for my daughters. But I get to pick them out. I have a, on the website, I have an application to court my daughter. Read it. Yeah, that's the light version. That just gets you through stage one. Then I take them hunting. God bless you. I love you, brethren.